Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I have a lot that motivates me, but this is about the love of the game. The game has given me so much over the years. And, making peace with a nice long career.
It really feels as if the commentary on Aaron Rodgers has been very, very negative on this station since the man signed 8 days ago now. It feels just so long ago, like he's been here forever. A rough couple of years in New York put a sour taste in people's mouths. Maybe it's his views, beliefs, I don't know. I've always tried to keep it about a guy and how he performs when he has a helmet and pads on and the lights are shining brightest. And that's how I do want to keep it with Aaron Rodgers. Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan this morning. Joe Starkey has no voice. I once did a show with no voice and did 4.5 hours by myself, but maybe I'm just built a little bit different than Joe in my youth. No voice, that doesn't necessarily mean no golf, so I don't know, maybe Joe is out there with the clubs somewhere. Just kidding, a little bit. If Joe could be here, I'm sure he would be. Dom DiTommaso is with me behind the glass. He is filling in for our pal Austin Bechtold, who is at Oakmont. We will have some fun today, and I hope you are along for the ride. Off the top, that's presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Ray Fittipaldo joins us around 11. Bob Walk around 1. Josh Roundtree at 1:35. We will have check-ins from Oakmont with Jeff Hathorn 27 minutes after every hour. So about 20 minutes from now, we will have our first one. Which, by the way, if you have been looking for live coverage on your television, apparently, that does not begin on USA until 1 p.m., but coverage is running on Peacock if you do have that streaming service. Dom is dressed like he's ready to play Oakmont in a very festive mood. I am in my typical T-shirt and gym shorts on this Friday. We will still have a Bechtold breakdown. Our friend City Limits will be joining us live from Oakmont around 12:30. Austin, very wisely using one of his banked holiday days today. A veteran move that I am no stranger to. And Don, that's a piece of advice that I will gladly give you, whether it's here or somewhere else, once you become a full-time employee somewhere. Always, always, always use all of those PTO days, because most of the time you do not get those back and they don't carry over into the next year. I save up my sick days, though. I don't think I've used a single sick day since I started here. Maybe one. Paul Skeens pitches today in Chicago. We will get into that at noon after the Pirates fell last night. An old friend with a nice little outing against them at Wrigley Field. We will also power rank our favorite horror movies at 11:30 to celebrate Friday the 13th. But I do want to start with the Steelers quarterback, and this could be a whole six-pack brought to you by Bet365. I don't really have it organized as a six-pack like Joe would. But I think I'm ready to turn the page on Aaron Rodgers, on all of this. A page to positivity on all of this. I've made my stances clear on what I wanted the Steelers to do this offseason at quarterback. They didn't do that. They're the people that run the team, not me. They make those decisions. They get paid the big bucks to make those decisions. I just get paid to talk about those decisions. First, I wanted them to bring back Justin Fields. It felt like the most logical thing to do. And even though I have heavy doubts on Fields of ever becoming an elite player, I still had some interest. I thought there could have been some meat on the bone. There was curiosity in seeing what he could do if they let him continue in the offense. And he's also just in his mid-20s. He has an elite trait, what he can do with his legs. His arm certainly had to do a lot of catching up. But I at least had interest and curiosity in seeing what could have happened. I wouldn't say he played outstanding football by any means in these six games the Steelers gave him, but he certainly didn't play bad football. What he did was play the way they wanted him to. They wanted a more cautious approach to things, and they were able to take a player that was known to turn the football over, and they cleaned that up. He still had his fumbles. He didn't lose a ton of those fumbles. But in six games, he had just one interception. Now, just five passing touchdowns, but still a good ratio, 5-1. He also ran for a handful of touchdowns because he brought that element. If you got around the end zone, it felt more likely they were going to get 6 points last season with Justin Fields than they did with Russell Wilson. Just watching the games, it felt that way because you at least knew, hey, if things break down, Fields could take off and probably get into the end zone. So they didn't do that. Next, what did I want them to do? That was just go forward with Mason Rudolph and possibly have a down year. Of course, they would still find their way to 9-8, I'm sure. But I was actually ready for a potential 6 or 7 win season to set up a better spot in the draft than we've seen in 20 plus years. Now, yeah, it's naive of me to think that a franchise like the Pittsburgh Steelers would ever do that. We're not going to have Art Rooney, Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin walk into the locker room and try to tell his team, try to convince them that it's good that, hey, we're going to waste a year here and then we will see what happens in the 26th draft. That wouldn't happen. But again, that doesn't mean we can't think that it's better for them. I was finally fine with them taking a step back to take two steps forward. They didn't do that either. And maybe that's for the better. So I am ready to turn the page on this thing. Because this is what they decided to do. I have to adjust to it. I can't talk all season as if, hey, they didn't do what I wanted, so I'm going to keep reminding people of that. Now, if we get after that week one game and Justin Fields pops off and Aaron Rodgers looks rusty, yeah, I'm sure that next evening I'll pop on and mention how I wanted things to be a little bit different. But I certainly don't think this will be a bad team with Aaron Rodgers. Not at all. I never said that either. I never said that I didn't think the team would not be good all because they signed Aaron Rodgers. Will he have his four-time MVP play in Pittsburgh? Yeah, there's some reason to doubt that. Quarterbacks historically, unless your name is Tom Brady, don't have a ton of league success once they get to the age that Rodgers is at. That's just how the history has gone in the National Football League. Father Time is undefeated. But it's a coach and an organization that, at worst, finishes 500 every year. Now they have to finish just above 500, unless they would tie. I guess they could go 8-8-1. But they take a lot of pride, a ton of pride, in being above the mean. My first thought, my very first gut thought on Aaron Rodgers when he signed last Thursday afternoon was 11 wins. 11-6. And if it is the best case scenario, if I am going their ceiling, 11 wins and a playoff win, something they haven't done in nearly a decade. I don't even think Dom was in middle school the last time the Steelers won a playoff game. The floor feels like 9-8, where they usually are hanging out, either 9-8 or 10-7. It isn't going to be drastically different than what we have seen, but I do think it's an uptick better than how things were last season, because I think they are a better team right now than they were last season. Maybe not by a ton, but they're better to me. They look better to me on paper. I know it only matters once they hit the field for real in a couple of months. But that team from last season made the playoffs. That team at one time was 10-3. And on paper was one of the best teams in the AFC. They had wins against the Ravens. They had a win against the Commanders. So yeah, they had to face the daunting part of their schedule in the back half, and that certainly proved to do them in. But it's not like they didn't beat anybody leading up to that point. They had defeated multiple playoff teams. Now, it came early in the season. Maybe some of the players were compromised. But the Steelers, with their backup quarterback, Justin Fields, they beat the Denver Broncos on the road. They beat the LA Chargers at home, two teams that made the playoffs. They dominated an Aaron Rodgers-led Jets team on Sunday Night Football. One of the more impressive Steeler wins post-Ben Roethlisberger, I would say. Then the wins against the Ravens and Commanders. Were some of us getting a little bit too high on hopium? I was one of them before they ran into the buzzsaw that was their, final 5 or 6 weeks. But they were, at a time, looked at like one of the better teams in the AFC at 10-3. So where are they clearly worse than what they were last season? You can chime in, as always, at 412-928-9370. But Dom, I'll do this with you, and we can do this with folks who call in as well, again, at 412-928-9370. Where do you feel as if they are noticeably worse than last season? I know that you are very, very high on Aaron Rodgers, and even me, who tempers that a little bit, I would say that Rodgers is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson. So they're better at the game's most important position right off the bat.
Well, see, when I say I think the Steelers have a real shot at making the AFC Championship game, people think that's absurd. But you make a very good point. You look at this team, they won 10 games last year and made the playoffs, and I don't think they have gotten worse anywhere on this roster. Quarterback, we've talked about it. I think they're miles ahead of where they were last year. And then, all right, you look at wide receiver. I don't think they're worse. I think DK for Pickens is a lateral move, but I would argue Metcalf is more talented than Pickens, and then you remove the headache that George Pickens sometimes was. Running game, I think, if anything, is a little bit better. Offensive line should be better than it was last year. Defense isn't getting any worse, and you still have one of the best head coaches in football. So for people to say this team's going to be worse than they were last season, that doesn't comprehend in my mind, because when you look at this roster and look at where they are compared to last season, they're not worse at all.
The big question marks on offense, I would say that receiver, you got into it a little bit there. I would say that it's at worst a wash from where they were. Now, should they have maybe tried to make things work with Pickens? I would have liked to, because if you truly want to go all in on this thing, I would think that having Pickens and Metcalf is very enticing to Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to buy into the Roman Wilson hype because of what he is doing with a pair of shorts on. Calvin Austin did have a nice little season last year. I'm not going to take that away from him, but it's hard for me to say that he's a true second wide receiver threat. Robert Woods into his 30s. His best days are way behind him. So it feels similar to what last season was. When they had George Pickens, they got left at the altar by Brandon Ayuk, and then they really had no backup plan. They went into the season with Van Jefferson as the number two guy, and then every single day that they practiced in Latrobe, we had to hear about what a good training camp Van Jefferson is having, which didn't really translate onto the field once games mattered. Speaking of, let's keep Aaron Rodgers away from any blocking sleds when the team goes to Latrobe next month as well. The other big question mark for me are the two tackles, because Broderick Jones has not given us any sort of backing to think that he will be amazing. You know, I don't think he will just suddenly turn into Orlando Pace or Anthony Munoz or, you know, insert all-time great left tackle here. But I do support the idea that they are finally moving him over there where he seems to feel a whole lot more comfortable, and he should know that this is the biggie for him. This is the big season. You enter year three. This will be the deciding factor whether or not your original team wants to bring you back, because you get that fifth-year option coming up after this season. Troy Fautanu, we saw very little of last season due to injury. I'm not going to say it was bad what we saw, because I do like what we saw. It was just so little to go off that we cannot say for certain that it is, hey, they have a great tackle here with this kid. We have to see more. Mason McCormick, he got thrown into the fire. I thought, given those circumstances, he did a nice job. Let's hope he can keep that going, because I don't think their plan was for him to play last season. The James Daniels injury forced their hand. You don't need to convince me on Zach Frazier. I think the kid 1 year in, I already think he's a stud. I think we will look at him after year two and say that he's one of the top five centers in all of football, if you don't already want to do that now. I had Nick Faribault on last week, and he was already ready to say that Zach Frazier was one of the best centers in football. Sayamalu, the trusty veteran. So the offensive line still a question mark, because we hope that they are better every year, but it seems like we get to a point and they disappoint us. So there are a few spots up for debate. I like what they're building in the backfield. People are very high on Caleb Johnson. I think that'll be a nice little split there between Johnson and Warren. And it could be the rookie that sees more snaps by the time we get midway through the season. They went out and addressed their defensive line in the draft not once but twice. I don't know how much of a factor YA Black plays into the 2025 plans, but Derek Harmon will be a starter, and he will join Keanu Benton and Cam Hayward. So I think that fills a void that was left on a defense that got run on for nearly 300 yards in the wild card game. They let my guy, Landon Roberts, walk. Was not a huge fan of that move, but we knew that he was likely going to play third fiddle when it came to inside linebacker anyway. Patrick Queen would be their top guy, and then Peyton Wilson would work more into a full-time role. You just have to hope that Cole Holcomb is back and ready to go off injury. I think the secondary is a little bit better. The age of Darius Slay worries me because you hear with people, once the legs go on a corner, they're done. And he is beyond the age of 30. Deshaun Elliott, I love. I think he may be, to this point, one of the best acquisitions ever made by Omar Khan. Minkah Fitzpatrick needs to have a year where he, I think, plays more his role in the defense instead of just center field, because that bugged me. Porter, kind of like Broderick Jones, not that he has a fifth-year option looming as a second-round pick, but this is a big year for him. So they're either a wash or better, I feel, in almost every spot. But here's the rub with that. And we have Jeff Hathorn joining us in a couple of minutes from Oakmont. They aren't the only team in the AFC that looks better on paper with about 3 months to go before the games kick off for real. You still have your elites. Bills, Ravens, Chiefs. It seems like a couple of other teams certainly look better on paper. The Titans had the number one overall pick. They got Cam Ward. I think automatically they look better. Jacksonville picked one of the most dynamic players we've seen in this league in a long time. They look better to me. New coach, you can't think that Trevor Lawrence continues to play at a mediocre level. The Raiders look better. Geno Smith, Pete Carroll, Ashton Jeanty. The Patriots, I feel like, will be a hot wild card pick this season. Mike Vrabel, Drake May entering year two, Stephon Diggs, a better roster than what they had in 2024. It comes down to teams like the Chargers and Broncos. If they stay where they are, if they get a little bit better, I think LA has a better chance of that. I could see Denver falling off. The Bengals have an elite big three, plus Trey Hendrickson, who they are increasingly pissing off on defense, their only good player on defense. Beyond Burrow, Chase, Higgins, and Hendrickson, that team stinks. That's a reason why I don't think they're better than the Steelers. The Colts will suck. The Browns will suck. I think the Dolphins will take a step back. Texans, I mean, yeah, they're going to be probably the favorites to win the South. C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans. The Jets, we'll see what Aaron Glenn does. They have a relatively unknown offensive coordinator. That might be a good thing. What do they do with Justin Fields? My point is there are at least a few teams that have improved, not just the Steelers. So there's not, we're not the only city, we're not the only fan base that has the hopium feeling going into this season. But yet again, last year, the 7-team field proved that you have to reach double digits in wins to get you in. Every team in the AFC that reached 10-plus wins made the playoffs. There were no teams in the AFC with 10-plus wins that missed the playoffs. The only team in the whole league that didn't apply to was the Seattle Seahawks. That was also the NFC. They went 10-7 and missed. So I think, as of right now, I am about ready to say that this team can make the playoffs. The floor is 9. The ceiling is 11. Between that is 10, which would be the same number of wins as last season. And that seems to be the magic number. Hit it, Dom. It's time for Jeff.
This Oakmont update is brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions, Brookline.com, and Aircraft Management Group.
Jeff Hathorn joins us live from Oakmont. Jeff, there's no live TV coverage, so I basically just have to go off the leaderboard I'm able to pull up online. I don't have Peacock pulled up in here, But the early going, big takeaways from day two.
Yeah, guys have made charges and then fall back. We saw Koepka have a couple of putts to tie for the lead. Now he is going to scramble just to stay under par after hitting a tee shot into the rough on two. He is down to one under and has about a 15-footer for par on number two. So we've seen that from a number of guys. Hovland got it to three under. He just bogeyed 18. We've seen runs and seen them fall back. As J.J. Spahn won't tee off until 12:52, and he just sits there and watch guys kind of roller coaster to him and then fall behind.
Yeah, and I'm scrolling down this list, and Scottie Scheffler, who has been on a remarkable run, I mean, he was the betting favorite by a mile going into this thing. He is now four over based on the leaderboard I'm looking at.
Yeah, and Scotty's only hit two fairways today, which is so unusual for him. I mean, it's tougher here at Oakmont, but it's been kind of crazy how just meh he's played. I mean, he birdied the first hole today, so you thought, okay, here comes a charge. Then a bunch of pars, including an uninspired par on a par five, and then he basically four-putted on 17 for bogey. I mean, it's just not – there's just something that's just not there with him. Now, is he a guy that he could find it quick? Absolutely. Our guy's not going to run away. I believe that. But he's already now, you know, at the halfway point through his second round, and he's sitting at plus four.
Would you say that he is pretty much out of it, or just the way that this course plays, would you still give him a shot?
I mean, I'd want to almost hot take and say that just because, but you know, you've seen Scheffler just turn it on, and you see the greats. They have that ability to find a gear when it looks like everything is kind of lost. So I don't want to give up on him yet. And again, there's so many guys that are just that will show flashes and then drop right back, and I think that's what we're going to see a lot today. What I'm curious about is, okay, if it's this difficult or has been this challenging this morning, what's it going to be like this afternoon if there's no rain? I mean, you would tend to think it's going to be even harder. Another guy that's made a charge is Sam Burns, who started at plus two, got it to minus two, but he just bogeyed number one. So it's great golf courses, Donnie. You have the opportunity for birdies, which we've seen. But if you make a mistake, you pay. And this is obviously a great golf course.
J.J. Spahn, who I have heard of before this, but I said yesterday, Jeff, he sounds like a middle reliever that played for the Brewers in the mid-2000s. he's the man that's still in the lead at four under. How difficult, try to portray how difficult it is for him to hold that spot and kind of, you know, just stay afloat where he's at, given the difficulty that Oakmont presents.
Yeah, and, you know, the list of now anonymous first-round leaders of U.S. Opens, Andrew Landry was the one in 2016 here at Oakmont, is long and distinguished. What Spahn has to do is you know, he was honest with us after the round in that he said, there was a point in time where in golf, the football analogy or basketball analogy would be, he didn't want the ball in the pressure situation. He didn't want it. He didn't want the lead. He wanted to be chasing but didn't want to be chased. But he said he's kind of had a mental breakthrough and realized that if he wants to be great, he has to embrace this. We'll see today how he embraces this, and we'll see if any one of these guys can at least tie him for the lead and what kind of pressure that might put on him. But the guy just made putts, 26 putts, which is ridiculous. And he had 11 putts of 20 feet or in and made 10 of them. I mean, that's just crazy and, you know, on fire. Can he do that for another round? That's what we're going to find out this afternoon.
And, Jeff, before we let you go, this course is really kicking Justin Thomas's ass. 11 over, and
holy
I think he
cow.
Just birdied. He was 12 over.
I mean, he had a four-putt, and three of the putts were within 2 feet. I mean, he missed a putt for birdie, And then he just kind of walked up to it relatively quickly, lipped that out. Then walked up to the next one pretty quickly, lipped that one out. And you just wonder if that would have been Starkey, what would have happened to that putter at that point?
He also would have gotten thrown off the course for poor language, I assume, too.
and murder, I believe, might be another one on the list.
All right, Jeff, we'll check in with you next hour. Keep having fun out there. We'll talk to you at 11:27.
Thanks, Donnie.
Hit it, Dom.
This Oakmont update was brought to you by True Green, White Claw, and Jim Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek.
But yeah, we look at some of this leaderboard here. J.J. Spahn, who will tee off at 12:52. He is 4 under. Thurston Lawrence behind him. He doesn't tee off until 2:20. He's 3 under. Sam Burns, who Jeff mentioned there, is 4 under on the day. He's now 2 under. He's even with Victor Hovland in Siwoo Kim at 2 under. Brooks Koepka sitting at 1 under. Ben Griffin, who is the only guy, I believe, in the PM team draft we did the other day. I took him as Mr. Irrelevant, Dom. He's like the only dude who is playing a decent tournament so far at 1 under. I threw a couple of bucks on him today because I said, you know what, if the guy actually pulls it off and I don't have any financial tie-in, I'm going to be pissed at myself. But some of the big dogs are quite a ways down this leaderboard. And we have heard just the difficulty level that is presented by Oakmont. But Ludvig Åberg, he is 2 over. Xander Schauffele is 2 over. I mentioned to Jeff about Scottie Scheffler, who is 4 over. Bryson DeChambeau is 3 over. These guys are getting it taken to them a little bit out there. Rory is 4 over. Mickelson is 4 over. Now, I mean, him doing that is almost impressive, I would think, at his age. But, you know, some other pretty big names. Jordan Spieth is 5 over. Somebody else that I felt decent about going in, Shane Lowry, he got his ass kicked by the course yesterday. He's 9 over. Malzi's boy Sepp Straka, 9 over. So we'll keep checking that leaderboard every hour. We'll talk to Jeff at 27 after every hour. Dom, there was a topic brought up on the Dan Patrick show yesterday that I just fell in love with. And I don't get a chance to listen to most of those shows live, like Dan Patrick or Rich Eisen or The Herd, because I'm often here. I'm either getting ready for the show in the afternoon or we are on air in the afternoon. But they posted it on their Twitter page, and it's not even a sports topic, but I loved it. It is, what are some of the best movies with no star actors at the time of its release? I like couldn't get enough of it. I watched like their whole like 8-minute conversation about it, and that was like a big throw that tweet into the group message. The boys get all fired up about it. They're going back and forth about what movies they think fit the mold. The one that came to mind very early for me was Dazed and Confused. You had a unknown Matthew McConaughey. You had an unknown Ben Affleck. Certainly they were not stars. They were nowhere near household names. You got plenty of other, I would say, like second or third tier actors beneath them, but I would say those two guys are like A-list of the 2000s, at least. So that one came up to mind for me. I had a few others, but I thought that was something else fun that we could throw out here for people, because there are a few things on the table for you. U.S. Open, Aaron Rodgers, your expectations for the Steelers there. Are they a playoff team? 412-928-9370. And if you have a movie pop into your head that was made with stars before they were stars, like I think the original Halloween got brought up, which that might not be the only time the original Halloween gets brought up today. We'll find out in over an hour. But that's on the table for you. 412-928-9370. The fan text line, that's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee. unless we get money for you. You can get at us on there as well. Taking your calls up next on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.